Bhakti kata hanga smitara. Raghupati Raghava Rajyara Pati Kapavana Sihitara Raghupati Raghava Rajyara Pati Kapavana Sihitara Raghupati Raghava Rajyaram Pati Kapavana Sihitaram Vasikaram Vasikaram Pati Kapavana Sihitaram Sitaram Jaya Sitaram Gopika Pavan Sitaram Sitaram Jaya Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Sitaram Jaya Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai 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 Ram O Raghupati Raghava Rajyaram Pati Kapavana Sitaram
Jainityalila Pradishta Asputara Sakashi Singh and Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Whimsical Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kundi Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Ram Muni Ki Jai Sri Ram Leela Ki Jai Gaur Bhaktivinoda All glories to the Son of Jesus All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Lord Shri Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Jnana Tamaranda Syajan Anjana Shalakaya Chaksuhun Militam Minatasmai Sri Guru Vinamaha Mukam Kuroti Vachanam Bhangum Manjaiti Girin Yakti Patamaham Bande Sri Guru Dinitarino Vancha Kaupadiru Vyashtra Kripa Sindhu Vahe Vacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasini Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Ramaya Ramachandraya Rama Bhadraya Vedase Raghunathaya Nathaya Sitaya Patehe Namaha Apadam Apahataram Dataram Sava Sampadam Lokabhyo Ramam Shri Ramam Bhuyo Bhuyo Namam Yahum I bow to Ram, Ramchandra, Ramabhadra, the creator, the lord of the Raghu dynasty, the ultimate goal and the consort of Sita. I bow again and again to Sri Ram, who takes away distress, who gives all fortunes and delights the universe. This last verse is very nice. I am blessed to have in my home a wonderful Shalagram Srila by the name of Raghunath, and the particular qualities of this form of Lord Ramchandra Raghunath is that he gives happiness to the householders. So this particular verse here, who takes away distress. If anybody here ever feel distress, maybe some of the students right before the teacher says, okay, pop quiz. Well, if you remember Lord Ramchandra, all distresses will be removed. And this is what we want. We want to be free from distress. Vaikuntha means no anxiety, no distress. And who gives all fortune? Who wants fortune? No, not big bank accounts and fancy car. Fortune of the Vaishnavas and the Lord. Who wants that? Now, I'll leave your hand up if you wouldn't mind a little, bank account as well. And the delights of the universe. Now, this is an interesting phrase, the delights of the universe. Now, if you ask the materialist, what would you like? What delight of the universe is there for you? Oh, wealth, prosperity, enjoyment, happiness. But what is the delight of the universe that we seek? Sri Harinam. This is the greatest pleasure in the entire world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in all the 14 planets, you will not find anything more satisfying than Sri Harinam. So, knowing that to be the real delight of the universe, who wants the delights of the universe? No, the kids want the delights of the universe in the form of Sri Harinam. Enthusiastically, you want those? So, there are many details to the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. For centuries, devotees and scholars alike have heard and told these stories from Valmiki's Ramayana. And of course, here in our ISKCON society, we've heard these stories in the form of classes and plays and dramas and movies and even puppet shows, one of my favorites. So the subject of Ramchandra's pastimes and the lila of the activities of Lord Ramchandra is not unknown to any of us. But that's the interesting thing about the pastimes of the Lord, is that they're always wonderful to hear and ever fresh to relish. This is how we can judge our advancement in the process of devotional service. Are we always eager to hear the same pastimes of the Lord over and over again? And do we actually relish those pastimes? If we answer yes to both of those, we can understand that by the grace of Guru and Krishna, I'm making a little advancement, becoming detached from material life. Because this is what we should feel. We should feel enthusiastic and want to hear these pastimes. Oh, yeah, Ramlila, yeah, I heard this before. Yeah, oh, he's going to tell that story. Yeah, I know that story. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Okay, we may have heard it, we may remember it, we may know it, but we should relish it nonetheless because this is the life and soul of the devotees. Krishna Katha, Ram Katha, Nishimi Katha, whatever, Bhagavan Katha. This is our life and soul. This is where we get our real satisfaction. We may get some temporary satisfaction from reading this book or seeing that play or this, whatever, all these other things. But it's very fleeting. It doesn't give real happiness. My wife was telling someone the other day that, she remembers that I had, mentioned to her I'd read Ramayana, several times, Mahabharata several times, How many times can you read Harry Potter, for God's sake? I mean, you barely make it to the first time. It's like, what, 20 volumes, 6,000 pages long? And it's the same story over and over. This guy gets hit, Ramayana, these pastimes become so pleasing to us. And we go back to Godhead by speaking them. We become very satisfied. So for this particular class, I wanted to shed some light on and discuss some points, both in a summary manner to kind of go over these particulars and delve into one particular pastime that fascinated me. Now, from Srila Prabhupada's 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapters 10 and 11, there's a very nice description about Lord Ramchandra appearing in the dynasty of Maharaj Khatvanga, and Prabhupada gives a very nice summary at the beginning of that chapter, as he always does, and I'd like to read through that here. The son of Dasarath was Lord Ramchandra, the supreme personality of Godhead. When the Lord descended into this world in his full quadruple expansion, appearing as the four brothers, students, raise your hands if you can name the four brothers, 1, 1, 1. Ramchandra, very good, right? Bharat? Okay, so if we're missing one, come on. No, I'm not taking the same ones. Lakshman, there we go, the four brothers. All right, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna, and of course Ramchandra. While the great sages like Valmiki describe his transcendental pastimes in great detail, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami describes these pastimes in brief. We find this similar mood between Krishnadas Kaviraj and Vrindavan Chandra. When they're writing the Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, one will say, oh, the other author has described this in detail. I'll only touch on a little. I don't want to make this a big, long book. No, he touched on that, so I won't, you know. So here we find that Sukadeva Goswami has capsulized this because Valmiki has given such a very long presentation. As a young boy, Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman went Vishwamrita to kill Rakshasas who were disturbing the juggas and ashrams of the rishis. Now, interesting to note here, it appears that Bharat and Shatrughna did not go. There's no mention anywhere that the four of them went, just Lakshman and Ram. And it mentions that these Rakshasas, these man-eating demons of the night, were disturbing the juggas of the sages. Students, raise your hands if you can tell me three ways they were disturbing the juggas.
They put the fire out.
Okay, they put the fire out, but how did they put the fire out? Okay, I'll give you a clue. By raining something.
Using the bathroom.
I like how polite you are. This is good training. This is good training. They went to the juggah and they used the bathroom on the fire. Yes, that is completely correct, 100%. Okay, we'll just move on with that. After some time, Vishwamrita arranged for the introduction of Ram to Janak Maharaj for the purpose of marrying Sita. We all know the story. Great feat on the part of Ram. But there's a little known connection in this pastime. After breaking the stout, strong bow and marrying Mother Sita, Prabhupada mentions that Lord Ram cut down the prestige of Parashuram. Sounds interesting. By the order of his father, he entered the forest accompanied by Lakshman and Sita. There he cut off the nose of Supanaka. You all answer together, thank you. And killed the associates of Ravana headed by Kara and Dushana. Ravana's kidnapping of Sita Devi was the beginning of the demon's misfortune. When Maricha, assuming the form of a golden deer, Lord Ram went to bring that deer to Sita. But in the meantime, Ravana took advantage of Lord Ramchandra's absence and kidnapped her. I was actually going to bring this. My wife said, no, you're crazy. I had this painting. It's actually not a painting. It's a Balinesian print tie-dye thing. It's probably about this big. That's why she said it was crazy. Of Ram with the bow pulled and the deer, the golden deer with an arrow in its heart and the form of Marichi manifesting from behind it. Hangs in my living room. It's very, very nice. Anyway, when Sita was kidnapped, Lord Ramchandra, accompanied by Lakshman, searched for her throughout the forest. In the course of his search, he met Jatayu. Then the Lord killed the demon Kadamba and the commander Vali and established a friendly relationship with Sugriva. After organizing the military strength of the monkeys and going with them to the shore of the sea, the Lord awaited the arrival of Samudra, the ocean personified. Now this is important because, you go to somebody's house, you don't just open the door and walk in. Well, unless you're like really good friends. Madhamati and Seisha always tell me, when you come to our house, stop knocking, just come in and say hello. So with really good friends, you get to do that. But when you go to someone's, you knock on the door. Hello, can I come in? So Lord Ramchandra didn't just want to enter into the ocean. He waited for Samudra to come so he could ask permission. But Samudra did not come. And the Lord, who is the master of Samudra, became angry. Now, students, raise your hands if you know how he showed his anger. Is there anything you don't know, Govinda? My goodness. All right, Govinda, how did he show his anger? He was going to destroy the ocean, but just prior to that, he did something which brought the ocean to its senses. He raised his eyebrows and arched them in this way, looking very angrily across the ocean. If you ever do that to a friend, boy, there's a battle brewing. Okay, so then Samudra, realizing his mistake, came in great haste and surrendered to the Lord, wanting to help him in every way possible. The Lord then attempted to build the bridge over the ocean. One more question, students. who was going to be a part of the bridge, but didn't get to. Govardhan Hill, that's correct, but that's another story for another day. And with the help of advice from Vibhishan, he attacked Ravana's capital, Lanka. Previously, Hanuman, the eternal servant of the Lord, had set fire to Lanka, and now with the help of Lakshman, the forces of Lord Ramchandra killed all the Rakshasa soldiers. Then Lord Ramchandra personally killed Ravana. Nandadari and the other wives lamented for Ravana, and in accordance with Ramchandra's orders, Vibhishan performed the funeral ceremonies for all the dead members of the family. Lord Ramchandra then gave Vibhishana the right to rule Lanka and also granted him a long duration of life. The Lord delivered Sita Devi from the Akshoka forest and carried her in a flower airplane to his capital Ayodhya, where he was received by his brother Bharat. When Ramchandra entered Ayodhya, Bharat brought his wooden slippers, Vibhishan and Sugriva held a whisk and a fan, Hanuman carried the umbrella, Satrughna carried the bow and two quivers of arrows, and Sita Devi carried a water pot containing water from the holy places. Angada carried a sword, and Jambavan, also known as Rikshiraj, carried a shield. After Lord Ramchandra, accompanied by Lord Lakshman and Mother Sita Devi, met all his relatives, the great sage Vasishta enthroned him as king of Ayodhya. Sri Ram Ki! So as I mentioned, reading over this one thing caught my attention, and that was Lord Ramchandra's cutting the pride of Parashuram. Now, in the context of that story, it contains two points. One point is, it's a theme used in endless science fiction, how two personalities can't be in the same time spot at the same time without disrupting the whole time flow. You know, you won't hurt it. So how do we have two incarnations of the Lord simultaneously present? So this is an interesting story. And the details of the battle itself. Now, this is a battle that we commonly don't know so much about. So I thought, great, let's take a look at this pastime. So, after breaking the great bow in the court of Janak Maharaj, accepting the hand of Sita, Dasarath and his sons, all four sons, married the four sisters, and so they're all coming back to Ayodhya. Grand procession, quite happy. You've got the father who's just married his four sons to four completely qualified girls. The whole entourage is going. He's got on his left Vasishtha Muni, on his right, Vasishtha and somebody help me here. My brain just went. Thank you, Vishwamrita. Thank you. Vasishtha and Vishwamrita, Ram. So they're all in this great procession. All of a sudden, everything changes. Which is kind of appropriate that this class is on this particular morning. The sky became very dark. Thunder and lightning began to manifest. The earth shook. All the birds stopped singing. Various ill omens began to manifest, such as animals running in the wrong direction. What's the wrong direction? Who can tell me? Somebody besides Gauranga. Yes, Sarva Mangala. Backwards, counterclockwise, yes. Inauspicious if animals come and circumambulate you backwards. Dasarath, upon seeing all these symptoms and being a great king, he knew something was up. He turned to Vishwamrita, he said, is there a great demon coming? Vishwamrita said, no, this is no demon. This is Parashuram. He is 100 miles away, yet the earth is still shaking with each step he takes because he is so angry. Now, how many of you know the story of Parashuram? Okay. Not somebody you necessarily want to get angry, but for some reason he's angry. So Dasarath said in humble supplication to the two great sages, he said, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to protect us? Both of them replied to Dasarath. They said, we have only one opinion.
Usually we have two different opinions, and there's many, many great stories of the arguments and differences of between Vashishta and Vishwamitra. That's a whole other class in and of itself. But they said on this subject, we have only one opinion. We're going to lay down on the ground, close our eyes, and offer full obeisances to Parashuram because he's coming. And that's exactly what they did. They laid on the ground and offered full dandavats and closed their eyes. As Parashuram got closer, you could hear the resounding echo of his pretty frightening, you know. So out of the horizon comes this big gale wind and a huge dust storm. Darkness envelops everything. And out of the middle of this emerges this glorious, effulgent figure. He's wearing the clothes of a renounced sage who had spent many years in the mountains performing meditation. He had long, matted locks. It was Parashuram himself, he who strikes fear into the heart of all Kshatriyas. He was as fearful as the fire that comes to destroy the earth. And the axe that he carried, it inspired more reverence than seeing the peak of Mount Kailas. Now, I've been to see the peak of Mount Kailas, and it's a pretty amazing sight. But to see the axe of Parashuram was even more amazing than that. And there it was on his shoulder, this famed axe. On the other hand, he was carrying a glorious bow. And with every step, he chanted this Om. This sound was so loud, so all-pervading, so heavy, that all of Dasara's army fainted. The entire army. And the elephants started screaming and rolling their trunks back and forth and all fell over and fainted. However, due to his attachment for Ram, Dasarath did not faint. He wanted to look after Ram and be sure to protect him. But as Parashuram got closer, and as the sound became heavier and louder and the impact stronger, the only two people left standing were Ram and Lakshman, the supremely conscious personality of Godhead himself. Even Bharata Satrughna had fainted and fell to the ground. So, in a brotherly mood, Ram turned to Lakshman and he said, "So now what are you going to do to protect us?" At this point, Parashuram came before the two brothers, and in a deep voice he said, "Who is Ram?" And Ramchandra folded his hands. He said, "You're Ram. You're the only Ram. You're Parashuram. Who else is there to be known as Ram?" Parashuram then answered, "Well, yes. But I have heard many stories about another person named Ram. Many people speak of your skill with the bow and the arrow. As a matter of fact, it is all that the people talk about is your skill with the bow and arrow. I have also recently heard that you went to Mathila and you have broken the great bow that is kept there. For this act, you will now answer to me." Now, we might just ask the question, why is Parashuram concerned about the bow? I mean, you know, it was in Janaka's kingdom, not his. Ram broke it, not him. Didn't even have anything to do with him. Well, to understand this, we need to look at the history of this bow. In ancient time, Vishvakarma, the great architect of the demigods, you know, amazing carpenter, you know, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, you know, we've seen that, you know, some devotees have really great wood shops, you know. I mean, I can't imagine what kind of shop Vishvakarma must have, because he creates everything out of it. But anyway, he created two bows. One of them he gave to Shiva, and one of them he gave to Vishnu. Now, Vishnu's bow was known as Sharanga. We've all heard this name. And Shiva's bow had two names. It was known as Shiva Dumush, and as Prabhupada mentions in the connection with the story here in the Bhagavatam, Haridanu. Now, Parashuram was such a amazing personality, but because he was manifesting here in this world, he took a guru. And his guru was Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva taught him all the truths and activities connected with warfare. And he was such a good student. If you have a good student, you want to give them something in return. So he was such a good student that the bow was given to him. The bow of Lord Shiva, this is the Shiva Dhanush. And eventually, it was passed on down and it was kept in the kingdom of Janaka. And this was kept as a worshipable item there. It was honored and respected. And so in this way, there's the history of Parashuram's connection to this bow of Lord Shiva. It describes in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when Lord Ramchandra picked up this bow and strung it, it cracked. And when it cracked, it was so loud that that sound reached the ears of Parashuram, who was on Mahendra Mountain performing meditation. So we came to investigate. Who's cracked the bow? Parashuram continued. He said, the people say that some young child from the Ishvaku dynasty has broken the bow. Is it you? How dare you break the bow of Lord Shiva? I have controlled the Kshatriyas in so many ways. I have finished all of the Kshatriyas. And now, someone else, some new Kshatriya is coming and breaking the bow. You must be shown that I, Parashuram, am still present within this world. Ramchandra politely folded his hands and he said, No. What seems to be the problem? I didn't actually break the bow. The bow was just so weak from sitting there and not being used for so many years. I picked it up and strung it and it just broke into half. Parashuram became infuriated. You mean to say that you are strong and Lord Shiva's bow is weak? So the Kshatriyas are now becoming strong again? Well, I am not going to leave it like that. If you think you are all so powerful, then why did you insult Lord Shiva? A powerful person shows respect to others. You don't think you have made a great offense by this activity? He is the great Mahesh, and you have broken his bow. And besides, how is it that the great bow of Lord Shiva has been reduced to a mere token in the Swayambhara in the kingdom of Janaka? You are all imposters. Now, again, I will start and I will finish all of the Kshatriyas. I will finish Dasara. I will finish Janaka. I will finish everyone. Ramchandra folded his hands again. You see, Ramchandra is always respectful. He doesn't, snap back. He folds his hands and he says, I hear you, and I hear your challenge. You seem to be under the impression that I am a weak man and do not have the courage to fight with you. You have equally insulted me. And you should know, yes, you are correct. Many people are supposed to be finished. But in this time period, I will do the finishing, not you. Parashuram says, oh, now you're going to compete with me? Let us see if you are capable. And he picks up his axe. Just look at this axe. With it, I have finished all the Kshatriyas 21 times over. Now, Ramchandra and Lakshman, when Parashuram picks up the mighty axe, they do something unexpected. They offer their obeisances. Because after all, it's the paraphernalia of the Lord, right? Which student can tell me who the paraphernalia of the Lord is an expansion of? We discussed this. Lord Balaram, thank you. So it's the expansion of Lord Balaram, so it's worthy. So in this way, Ramchandra and Lakshman offer obeisances to the mighty plow. Now, this puzzles Parashuram. He's on the verge of starting what he thinks is going to be a good fight, and the two people he's going to fight with all of a sudden offer obeisances. Why are you offering obeisances to my axe? He questions them. Ram replies, because it has killed all of the bad Kshatriyas. It is a very famous weapon. It is the weapon of Lord Vishnu, and we are from the Surya dynasty. Therefore, we must offer our obeisances to the sacred weapon of the Lord. Now this really confused Parashuram. On one point, there's instructing and challenging, and on the next hand, they're offering obeisances. So he says to himself, there's something going on here that I haven't quite figured out yet. So I know what to do. I'll give them a test. So then he addresses Ramchandra very strongly. He says, so, if you are courageous and so strong, I will give you the bow of Lord Vishnu himself, Shamanga. It has been handed down many times from sage to sage to my father, Jamadagni. And now I see it here before you. Now that Sharanga bow, you remember, that's the bow he brought in with him. Let me see you lift it. String it. And put an arrow to it. Then, if you can do this, I will consider you a winning opponent, and I will have battle with you. Now, Dasarath heard this and he got really frightened because all the Kshatriyas are afraid of Parashuram. But Dasarath is particularly concerned for his son. So he approaches Parashuram and he folds his hand. He's practically in tears. I have heard from the Puranas, he says, that the anger, that your anger in regards to all the Kshatriyas has been pacified. And that your hatred, which is like a fire of destruction, has been extinguished. You promised this to Lord Indra when you laid down your axe. So please, please, spare my son. So what do you think Parashuram said? Yes. Parashuram didn't give two nickels. Now, if you got a nickel in your pocket, it's not much. What are you buying with a dime? 10 cents? You can't even get anything, you know? You go to the cookie table at the Sunday feast with 10 cents, you're not even getting a chocolate chip out of one of the cookies. So, Dasarath is not impressing Parashuram in any way, shape, or form. Didn't care for the words of Dasarath. So Ramchandra then, again, folds his hands and approaches Parashuram and he says, anything you give me, I will take that. Anything you ask of me, I will do that. But only by your blessings. This again shows the amazing character of Ramchandra. His humility in the sight of being challenged for battle and his great respect. So, in this way, Parashuram closes his eyes, goes into deep mental respect for the bow of Lord Vishnu, and begins to meditate on that bow, rising from the ground where it is, and coming into his hands, so he can offer it forth to Lord Ramchandra. He's meditating in this way. He's thinking in this way. But the bow is not coming. He doesn't feel the bow in his hands. Focusing harder. Finally, he opens his eyes, and what does he see? Sharanga, the bow of Lord Vishnu, is in the hands of Lord Ramchandra, already strung, and with an arrow set in the bow, facing Parashuram. This humbled Parashuram. He bowed and he said, you're the source of all strength. Now I understand that it is you and not me who is Ram. You are Ram. I am not Ram. From now forward, I will no longer have any worries from the Kshatriyas. You will no longer have any worries from the Kshatriyas. I'm sorry. I will no longer have any worries from the Kshatriyas, and you need not fear me. I am going to return to Mahendra Mountain and engage in my meditation. Actually, that's what I was doing previously, but Narada Muni. Yeah, right. We all know Narada Muni. Narada Muni's always sticking his finger in the middle of everything. If there's something to be sped up to get the pastimes of the Lord going, or if there's some action to be brought about, or some tattletaling to be done, Narada Muni is the one that's going to do it. So he says, I was actually sitting in Mahendra Mountain meditating very peacefully, and Narada Muni came to me, and he said to me, Parshuram, what are you doing? You're just sitting and meditating. He said, the Kshatriyas are coming more powerful again. You have to give up your meditation and do something. You have to act. And Guru said to me, some king, he didn't tell me the name, has a son, and he didn't tell me the name of the son. And that son has gone to the court of Janak and has broken the bow of Lord Shiva. You better get down there and do something. So this was Narada Muni's interruption into the meditation of Parshuram. And Parshuram told him, he said, he never told me that you were that boy. So, following this explanation, Sri Ram politely offered his obeisances. Parshuram politely offered his obeisances and went back to the Mahendra Mountain to engage in meditation again. Understood. Now, this is where we are so very, very fortunate. We have the instructions and association of Srila Prabhupada. We can see how important it is that we know Srila Prabhupada's books. If you were to look up on so many different Hindu websites, and even our esteemed Sri Wikipedia, you'll see that in the story of Parshuram, it mentions his return to the Mahendra Mountain in a completely different context. But we see that Srila Prabhupada has given a different explanation here than those. And I think I can speak safely for all of us that we're quite satisfied to remain with the instruction of Srila Prabhupada on the subject. Yes? This is why we're so fortunate and blessed to have Prabhupada's divine association through his instructions. He mentions how Lord Parshuram still lives. Now, Prabhupada was writing these books just a few decades ago. You know, universal time, that's like he did it just then. So the Parshuram still lives in the Mahendra Mountains, completely satisfied as an intelligent Brahmana, having given up all the weapons of the Kshatriyas. He's always worshipped by the personalities of there, adored, and offered many prayers for his exalted character and activities by the Siddhas, the Charanas, and the Gandharvas. These personalities are all engaged in worshipping him. Prabhupada then finishes by saying that later, in a different Manavatar, the next Manavatar, Parshuram will become a great preacher of Vedic knowledge, that he will become one of the seven sages. And his father, Janmadagni, was one of the original seven sages. So thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for clearing up that misconception from other sources. So, in this way, Dasarath, King Dasarath, with his sons and his daughter-in-laws and his great sages, went to the capital of Ayodhya. Grand entrance into Ayodhya. Oh, so wonderful. Decorations everywhere, golden pots of water, scented water, not just water, scented water, and banana trees with mango leaves strong and marigolds strong and parijata flowers and argus sprinkled everywhere in the roadways and sandalwood powder thrown into the air for its fragrance. So much arrangement and a wonderful, wonderful reception. They were welcomed with great excitement, with great happiness, and everyone was so, so joyful at the arrival of Dasarath, Lord Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Satrughna and their wives. However, as we know, this joy and happiness and excitement did not last for very long. But that's another pastime of Lord Ram's for another day, another story. So we're going to finish there. Sri Ramchandra Ki! So, I actually didn't plan anything other than this particular pastime. I had actually thought about reciting the 108 names of Lord Ramchandra, since we won't be doing a fire jugger this evening, for obvious reasons. But you know, this prayer at the beginning, I think, is sufficient and contains all the essential names: Ramaya, Ramachandra, Ramabhadra, and Raghunath. Four most prominent names: Ram, Ramachandra, Ramabhadra, and Raghunath. One who is beautiful, one who is charming like the moon, one who is the benefactor, and one who is the creator and ultimate goal. So in this way, we can remember these pastimes of Lord Ram. We can discuss them with each other throughout the day. I will make note of our duty of mentioning this is a fast day until sunrise. I have consulted the proper resources and sunset. Yeah, we've already eaten. Sunset, which takes place at 7:21 this evening. So there is the challenge horse. Who can fast till 7:21 this evening? I've noticed that nobody fasts anymore. I don't know. I'll take this opportunity, since we're finished a little early, just to climb up on one of my soapbox issues. But I've noticed nobody fasts anymore. Now, granted, Prabhupada said before 8 or after 8. Well, that's a confirmation. Fast! or before 6 and after 60, something like that, one of those two. But you see it all the time. You know, the big major fasting days, Gopurnima and Janmashtami, and the cafe lines are the length of the entire property. So, but this fasting is important. It's one of the duties mentioned in the Nectar Devotion for the appearance and disappearance days of the Lord. And it's a personal purification. It's a way of cleansing the body. We don't have to. Before I became a devotee, I was a follower of, what's that guy's name? Earhart. He's a big fasting proponent. I would fast 7 days at a time and stuff like that. So, you know, that type of fasting is not required for us. You know, Parashuram was certainly fasting when he lived up in the mountains there. But here we're just given a couple of days a year just to fast. And most of those days, the personalities are so kind to us. Srimati Radharani, who could be more merciful to her devotees than that raised hand of Srimati Radharani giving all blessings? Okay, just half day, only till noon. No, nothing's excessive, just till noon. Well, now Prabhupada does say that if one cannot, one can take fruit, and that still counts as fasting. Of course, that doesn't mean an entire truckload of fruit, but at any rate, you know. And if one takes Mahaprasadam, okay, whatever. But, you know, in general, fasting is a good thing to do. It's nice for us to do. And the very reason I'm speaking on this is because my mind is completely agitated that, no, you're not fasting today. You've got yard work to do. So I'm speaking on this subject to myself mostly, so that I remember that I have to fast today, especially since the prominent deity in my home is Lord Raghunath. So, next to Govardhan, of course. At any rate, we'll finish there. We don't want to take up too much more time and add pastimes. We can go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. There's a hand back there in the back. Yes, Mother Mahamaya. I don't know if we have a microphone set up or... Yeah, we do. Okay. Sit, boy, sit. There you go. Mother Shanti says you can stick around with us.
Can you explain why we changed the fasting time? In Prabhupada's day, it was till noon.
No, I'm sorry. I have three quotes on this subject from Srila Prabhupada's letters and from Harisari, sunset for Ramchandra.
I just remember the year that they opened the temple in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Mandir. It was a fast till noon.
They may have fasted till noon, but there are three separate occasions, because I did thorough research before I put my finger in this pudding. And there's letters from Srila Prabhupada, two letters, and translations from a conversation with Srila Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Harisari, and he mentions Ramchandra and Nisringa sunset. So, and anybody that wants, I'll be more than happy to forward that information over to you. You can go to the database and find it there as well. Yeah. That's very possible. Very possible. That could be a good explanation, yes. Speaking of mentioning Vrindavan like that, it reminds me that in the old days there was that wonderful Sita Rambach from across from the temple there. You know, it's no longer there now. But back in the early days, that they just went on 24 hours a day with the most amazing Sita Rambachans. Really, really sweet. Kali Pandu?
This is not in reference to anything in the South, but I just wanted to comment that the way I am, you know, it's not an Indian, it's just an Indian story, but it was read and studied all over the world. And there are many scholars, not the mainstream scholars, but there are scholars who have shown beyond doubt that the Ramayana, pre-Christian culture in the West was Vedic. And the Ramayana started, there was one Indian Swami about 100 years ago who was visiting Africa. He went to see the renowned late Abyssinian monk Haile Selassie. And this Swami knew that Kusha, Ram's son, was given Africa to rule. And he wanted to test this monarch to see if this was known. So he was starting to allude to this fact, and Haile Selassie said, we are Kushans. And there are scholars who've written books also on the Hare Krishna. Commonality of worldwide fairy stories, legends, myths, the common traits, and many of the stories came out in different forms, in different kinds. This one would point this out, but Vedic culture was
everywhere. Oh, there's that. Sorry. I finished early intentionally because I have one thing here and we've lost a handful of the students, but those of you that stuck it out, touche for you. Charanamrita from Ram's Abhishek this morning. So if somebody will get me a spoon, I'll step out on the veranda and we can pass this out to everybody. One of those plastic spoons. All right? Sri Ram Chandra Ki! Ram Nami Ki! Ram Dynasty Ki! Jai Hindi!
I want to Thank you.